Yesterday, we looked at Rashi and the Shita Mikul Betzet. Again, just to recap. So the Gemara, the flow of the Gemara went like this. Halacha, according to Reb Shimon, is not a full avoda for the purposes of machshavot because it is efshar levatla, because it can be dispensed with. What about the chatora pinimiyot, where it's efshar levatla? Gemara's answer, that may be true, but it doesn't fit the paradigm, because the paradigm is from Shlomim, and therefore the chatora chitzaniyot are not part of it. Okay. The words, efshar levatla, it is indispensable, should mean it is indispensable. Rashi, bizarrely, said, why is it indispensable? Because you're doing the shechita and the azara, you're bringing the blood into the heichal. Why can't you just shecht it in the heichal such that you wouldn't have to do halacha? Because you wouldn't. Lav or agara. Which, of course, is strange. So one possibility we saw is that lav or agara doesn't mean it's just wrong. It's the same way you would say, it's the polite way of, like, the example we gave in the palace, right, where a British person would tell you, that's not how we do things here, right? We all understand they mean that in a very formal, like, you know, if this was 100 years ago, it would be off with your head, but it's not, so, you know, but that's not protocol. And we noted that Rashi does seem to explicitly say in Torah that some things which are derech eretz are min ha-Torah. The Ramban goes as far as saying that it's a mitzvah, that's possible. Shita Mubetzit clearly doesn't understand Rashi that way, and that's why he pushes back on Rashi. And he says, how can you invalidate because it's lav urachara? How do you know it's lav urachara? He says, it must be, efshar levatla, that you can't shecht in the Azara. How could you not shecht in the Azara? Because the doors are closed, and therefore it's possible because of p'ticha dalte ha'echal. Which, as we already noted yesterday, seems a little bit strange, because there is an intuition, like what Israel Isaac had yesterday, which is that this entire sugya of Pticha Dalta Eichel is about somehow connecting Shechita in the Azara to the Kodesh, to the Eichel, which, if that's the case, it would be very strange to say that if you're in the Eichel, closing the door matters. That would lead you into a much more formal direction of, well, I don't know what to call it, and therefore he correctly just threw his hands up in the air like many of the Acharnim do and say, Gzeirat HaKatuv, God said so, I don't know why. Good, so now we have to look at where does this halacha come from. So, to that end, we now actually have to look at the sugyot of p'ticha dalte haich. So, if you look at the Gemara on Nunheim Bet, so the Gemara says, I'll go back a little bit from where I told you to start, but the Gemara says, Ma'ishna ha'cha dechtiv petach ha'moed, u'ma'ishna ha'tam dechtiv lifnei ha'moed. Why in one place does the Torah say at the entrance of the Omo, and in the other place it says in front of it? Kidder of Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, introduce it, because you wanted to know where does it say it. Well, here's where it says it. The Kidder of Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, the Amar of Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Shlomim, Sheshachtan, Kodem, Shipatchu, Daltota, Eichal, Psulet. Shlomim that are shechted before you open the doors of the heichal are invalid, shenemar, because the pasuk says, ushechato, and you should shecht it, petach ol moed, at the opening of the ol moed, which the Gemara Darshan says, bizman shehu patuach, when it is open, velo bizman shehu na'ul, and not when it is locked. And it marnami, amar marukva barchama, amar abiyosi barbachanina, shlomim sheshachtu kodam, Sheyipatchu dalto haichal, the shlamim before you that are shechted before you open the doors of the heichal psulin are invalid. Shenamar ushechato petach ol moed bizman shepetach haichal patuach velo bizman shehu na'ol, when it is open and not when it is locked. And b'marava matniachi, we have yet another version of this from Eretz Yisrael that Amar of Yaakov bar Acha. Why again is Eretz Yisrael called marava? Well done. Okay, good. I just wanted to make sure you were awake there because it's west of Bavel. Nothing like very complicated here. It's west of Bavel. You know, Iraq is east of us. We're in the west. Middle east. You looked like, what are we talking about?
Which was west and which was east, that's all.
If one travels, if one is Israel, and he turns west and keeps going straight, he ends up in the sea. If he goes east, then he ends up in Jordan, and then eventually, you know, etc. There you go. Amar Yaakov Rach, Amar Ravashi, Shlomim Sheshachtu, and Kodem Shipatchu, Dalta Rechal, Psulin, Uva Mishkan. What was the equivalent in the Mishkan? Kodem Sheyamidu Levim et HaMishkan. Before the Levim would assemble the Mishkan. Ula Achar Sheyifarku Levim et HaMishkan, or after they would take it apart, Psulin. What? Right, and then Gemara goes on about this. Okay, so the Gemara introduces this rule: v'shachtu otel petach ol moed, v'shachtu petach ol moed. And from here we learn that when it's the petach is patuach, right, when the door is open. Okay, what is the let's what do we learn from this rule? Does it what do you get from this Gemara? What is the nature of this halacha? What is it? What evidence do we have from those few lines we just read? First of all, what does it apply to? What is this rule? What do we know? If we want to be minimalists, what would we know?
It's only about
Shlomim. It's only about Shlomim, and it's only about? And first of all, the Gemara's language is very specific, is before you open the doors, which it's not clear that the doors need to be open. If you wanted to be really, really minimalist, it would be before the doors were open, but not necessarily while they're open. Sure. And it also only explicitly says Shechita. Right? So far, that's what we know, right? Shechita, Shlamim, and before the doors are open. Now, we don't actually know, is it Shlamim and other Karbanot? We don't know. Right? We don't know just from this. We don't know what would happen if the door was open and then closed. Right? Because as Evan said, maybe Pticha Dal De'echel really means that you can't start shechting karbana before the day starts. Right? Before the mikdash day starts, which is symbolized by opening the doors. But in theory, if you close the doors at 11 in the morning, right, clearly if you close them at the end of the day, that's the end of the day. Right? That's clearly off. Right? That's out of bounds. Right? Ah. And now we have to come back to the pasuk. So I can see what we derive from it. So the pasuk is Ushchato, you shall shech it petach al moed, at the opening of the al moed, bizman shu patuach, when it is open, velo bizman shu na'ul, and not when it is locked. Now, if you just read that drasha, would you think that Evan is right, that it's before it's open in the morning, or while it is actually physically currently open? It's open, good. What in the sugya might indicate that that's not the case? So one is that it seems like it's opening for the day, but there's an even better proof in the Gemara that might point that direction. What does it compare it to? To the Mishkan, which is assembling the Mishkan and disassembling the Mishkan, which is not like opening it. It's not like the doors are open. It's
the doors are there.
Yeah, like the Mishkan is functioning. It's not functioning, right? It's open for business. It's not open for or non-business. Open for spiritual business. I don't know. And closed for spiritual business.
So is it someone's locking it compared to it not being
there? What?
Is locking those compared to the Mishkan not being
set up? Yeah, something like that. Right? So here we have a few models. Right? So we have a few models. So one possibility, so let's go through the models that emerge just from reading this Gemara. So one possibility is Evans. Is that the Gemara is really saying is that Shechitat Shlamim can only happen during regular business hours of the Mishkan, right? You got to start the day. Got to open the Mishkan, right? Now, if Evan is right, theoretically, let's just follow its logic through. If it's about opening the Mishkan for business or the Mikdash for business, that means you can't shecht before the day starts. But theoretically, if you would close it in the middle of the day, it would be fine. Right? Yes? Right, that's one nafkamina, right? Meaning clearly if Shechita Dal De'echel means that you started the day, then it clearly means that before I start the day and after I finish the day, you can't shecht. But if I would close the door for a few minutes in the middle, you know, for whatever reason, it's windy, I don't know, whatever, you close the door, right? Yes, the lunch break that happened in the Mishkan, when everyone went to have lunch. Sure, I don't know what happened, right? So then, theoretically, it would still be kosher, yeah? Now, does this, if Evan is right, what would you guess about, is it limited to Shlomim or all Karbanot? So presumably, Evan's right, if you think it's about the Mikdash being open for business, presumably, just because it gives an example of Shlomim, there's no reason to be Svara for it to be limited to Shlomim. If it's, you can't bring a Karban when the Mikdash isn't functioning yet for the day, presumably that would apply to all Karbanot. There's no particular reason to limit it to Shlomim. And is there any reason to limit it to Shechita? Also not. It's just that Shechita is the first of the Avodo. Right? So, Misvara, if Evan is correct, that what we learn from this is that really, Pticha Dal De'echel is a rule that the Mikdash needs to be functioning for the day. It needs to be open for the day. Presumably, it's all Avodah. Presumably, it's all Karbanot. And presumably, you could be Mekel if for whatever reason you open the, you close the doors in the middle of the day. Yeah? That follows logically from Evan's conceptual model. And the evidence that such a model is plausible is, as Shlomo said, is that we compare Pticha Dal De'echel to literally assembling the Mishkan, right? It's not about the doors per se. It's about, right, because it compares it to assembling the Mishkan. It's not about doors, right? It's once, if you have, you know, if you, like Lahavdil, right? It's like someone sets up a temporary lemonade stand, right? So the way you know that it's open for business is you literally, they take out the folding table and the kids put up their little sign that says, what? Yes. Thank you, Snoopy. But, right, you know, or, yes, it is. You know, however much they charge for a thing of lemonade, right? Sure, they're the people who gouge you for 2 shekel or 5 shekel or however much cash you have. It, what? It depends. Remember, you got to understand. The kids think they're doing this to make money. The parents are happy to lose money. It's to keep their kids busy for hours, right? So, right.
It's so much more expensive.
Oh, 100%. Anyways. So, when it, if you're doing something like that, though, the way you know you open for business is you literally assemble it. But if you then, this, you know, if our entrepreneurial five-year-old is so inspired by having been a by his lemonade stand when he was 5, that when he grows up, he decides to open a juicery, right? Which he now charges, you know, 40 shekel for his, you know, kale, ginger, you know, apple, lemon monstrosity, or whatever, whatever it is, and, you know, and whatever they put in it, and tapioca pearls. I don't know. They're like, I don't know what they put in these things, right? So then presumably he upgrades, and because he's charging 40 shekel for that thing, he can now have a storefront. He no longer needs to assemble and disassemble every day. He just, you know, opens the door, puts the sign, we are now open, we are closed, right? And depending on how dangerous of a neighborhood he's in, maybe put the, you know, the metal tree seam or not, and, you know, and they're like, what? We have the Tamed, but that's not closing the Heichal. That's a different rule, right? The Pesach, that's a different rule. Okay, but so that's one model. It's Evan's model. Good. What's another model? So, Meir says, come on. Petach Ohel Moed. It's open. That's it. That's all I know. It's Gzeirat HaKatuv. There has to be, it has to, Petach, we darshan patuach. That's it. The door has to be open. Open. That's it. So now he says Gzeirat HaKatuv. Now if it's Gzeirat HaKatuv, does it only apply to Shlomim or only other Karbanot? I have no idea. It says Shlomim. Is it more expensive than that? Maybe. Maybe not. I don't know. Once you say Gzeirat HaKatuv, once you wave your magic wand and say, God said so, okay, it's like, right? It's like Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai in the Midrash by Paraduma, right? Is it Metame because it's Tame and Metare? God said so. I don't know. So it doesn't make sense to you. I don't care. It doesn't make sense to you. God said so, right? Does the... Why are you only tahor if you use the para aduma and not the para, you know, not the green cow and not the, you know, not the,
why do you need
azov and not something? I don't know, because God said so. What do you want from me? Right? So is it shlomim? Maybe. Is it other karbanot? I don't know. The pasuk, the gemara says shlomim. Is it limited to shlomim? I don't know. I'll figure it out. You would need to adduce evidence from the gemara, because logically, once you say it's just, Exactly. Then, and if it's a Geter HaKatuv, presumably this is going to be true even if you close in the middle of the day. The point is, patuach, open! Yes. Of course you do. You have this smirk on your face. I'm like, oh no. Oh no. Yeah.
Oh God.
Yeah. Here we go.
Before the opening of the tent, the meeting, as for the Lord, that actually renders it before the Lord. Now, this, I think.
Would you like to read it to me in the original Greek?
Yeah.
Okay, go. And that means before the Lord?
Yeah.
Okay. So, I take your word for it.
So,
you don't know ancient Greek?
Nope.
The reason, I can help with your model.
I will not be appointed to the Sanhedrin. My knowledge of languages is not.
I think this actually suggests that the model about the door being open perpetually is what's important. Because the door is, of course, inside.
Okay, right. So Israel Isaac now gives a middle, right? Israel Isaac now gives a support based on the Septuagint to his work from yesterday, which is that. No, it's not unreasonable. I mean, I didn't need the Septuagint to say it, right? I could have said it misvara, but you want to say it based on what the Septuagint and that's fine. Which is, maybe it's not what Evan said, that it's about opening the door, nor is it an arbitrary exergatuv, but it's what Israel Isaac said yesterday, which is, the reason you have to open it is because you have to connect the shrita to the Kodesh, to the more intense manifestations of God's presence, or whatever, however exactly you want to articulate it, which happens the closer you get to the Kodesh, Kodesh HaKadashim, and the like. Now, based on that, though, so Evan's based on the words of Petach Moed, like open for business, like open, not open physically, open for business, right? The Gzeret HaKatuv, as Meir said, is based on the drasha being patuach. Israel Isaacs is saying, no, it's not, this isn't a drasha that depends on the word. It's a conceptual one. It has to be open, not because it's arbitrary, but because it needs to be connected to that which is within. Right, that there's a svara. The pasuk is simply quoting it, that we're quoting it is to point out that it's that even though you're shechting, you're not in the kodesh. There needs to be it needs to open into, continue into the omoy. Now, if we take that model, so now let's spell it out. So, should it be? Does it matter whether it's opened at the moment or was open at any point today? Presumably, it matters. It's currently open, right? Is it limited to shlamim? Well, I don't know, right? You have to figure out, is there a reason why this carbon of, why shlamim, probably not, unless you could prove that shlamim was unique in some way. And similar, is it limited to shechita? Again, you have to figure out, is there a reason why shechita more than any other avodah? Presumably not, but if you came up with a svara, maybe. Yes, Evan. As you just said.
No, not that.
Oh, fine. I mean, obviously, right, you could say that it's open for business, but like currently open for business, right? And then we could quibble conceptually, is like out for lunch closed or not currently open, right? Or something.
Yeah.
What? In which case, yes. In which case, it would functionally be equivalent. Yes, it would be functionally equivalent to Israel Isaac, but it would be a different spin on it. Correct. Maybe. Right? Maybe. Right, meaning if you say that the door, I hear that, right? Meaning you could say that still, according to Israel Isaac's model, it would definitely be mutter if you're in the Kodesh because you're connected. But if it's about being closed for business, well, even if you're in the Kodesh, right, that's like, you know, that's like you stay in the store, right? You know, you run a, whatever, a makolet, right? And you close for business, you know, for lunch, and you, well, no, this was like when I was in yeshiva. The person who owned the makolet at the time had no business acumen.
They were closed during your lunch.
They were closed. There's a yeshiva, 500 people, half a block away, right? Oh, you know where Gush is compared to the makolet. And they closed during yeshiva breaks
awesome. So
that he could take siesta. I'm like, oh my God, what are you doing, right? Well, and he's like, well, I need to have lunch. So like, okay, so have lunch at 11:30 when yeshiva guys are in Seder, and then the hungry yeshiva guys who aren't satisfied because of yeshiva food, right? Right? But, yeah, at some level, for Evan's model, if that makolet guy decided that he was having his lunch inside the makolet and there's the yeshiva guys banging on the door, he is in the Holy of Holies, you know? But, right, the makolet isn't functioning, right? It's not functioning. What? Oh, it was absurd. No, you guys, you gotta understand. When I went to yeshiva, and it already wasn't that bad, but, like, this was still, you know, it was worse, obviously, 10 years before me. But even in 2006, the Gush, we didn't have a supermarket. Rami Levy hadn't opened. There was no good supermarket in the entire area. There was one bank. There still is only one bank in all of Gush Etzion. And the deal apparently had originally been that, like, Alon Shvut got the bank and Efrat got, I forget what they got, post office? I don't know, something like that. Because it was so, it was just like you were scattered on hilltops, right? It was like, so the makolet could afford to be closed because otherwise, one of my rebbeim told him the way he shopped was he would take a bus to Yerushalayim, go to Machane Yehuda with a suitcase, fill it up, and come back on the bus. If that's what you're, if that's your competition, the makolet, even at weird hours, looks good. Now, you know, they can't do that because there's multiple major supermarkets in the Gush, but then not so much. It's crazy to me when I pass by Gush now because I'm like, when I was in yeshiva, the whole one of the selling points used to be that
there's
like
nothing
there's nothing there. The only thing you do is learn, and now like you know they paved the road from there to Kfar Etzion, where there's a whole shopping center of like you know 100 stores and gyms and restaurants and you know there's you know they used to be like you can't get in trouble. You have to go to Yerushalayim for a bar, but there's a bar in Kfar Etzion, like you know walkable from you know I don't think so many people frequent it. I have to assume, but I'm just saying you can't say that anymore. There are people living there. It's crazy. Yes, if you want to go in the middle of nowhere, you can still go to Malagibo. That is truly in the middle of nowhere. What? Shalvin's pretty isolated. Malagibo is really isolated.
Right.
I mean, it's walking distance from here. It is walking distance. It's not. What? It's a. Yeah, it's an 11-minute drive from here, but you can. It's like walking. It's like, yeah, door to door. It's 11 minutes. It's door to door is 11 minutes. It's about an hour walk. Yeah, it's about an hour walk. 45 minutes. What? Yeah, it's awesome. Anyways, not the point. Not the point. We've gotten off track here. Okay. So, from this Gemara, we don't know. Right? From this Gemara, we don't know. Okay, but we've outlined different models. Okay? Now let's look at the other sugya. Let's see if we get any more clues from the other sugya. So, the Gemara, let's turn now to Daf Samach Gimel. Let's see what we get in Daf Samach Gimel. Okay? So, the Gemara in Daf Samach Gimel says as follows. So, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Shlomim Sheshachdan Beheichal. Right. So remember the Shidim Gubetzet said, I quoted this Gemara, so now we see it inside. Shlomim, that you shechted in the Heichal. Shirim, the Kasher. Shneemar Veshachdu Petach Moed. Because we already said you have to shecht it in the Omoed, below Yehi Tafel, Chamor Min Haikar. That the secondary should not be more important than the primary. So simple shot here is. Well. Right. So now, first of all, the simple shot here is. Now, going back to what we said yesterday, is the simple shot now like Rashi or like the Chinuch Mikubet said? Rashi just says, like, okay, maybe you shouldn't do it in the Kodesh, but it's clearly kosher. Right? It says it's kosher. I mean, what do you want from me? It's a Gemara. Correct. But the Shidduch Gubetzet thinks it's formally a problem because of Pticha, right? But you asked me, how does he know the doors are closed? Well, he knows that you, at sometimes you can check inside the Kodesh. Where it says so. right? So the Gemara says, well, is that really true? Meitvei, Rabbi Yochanan ben Matir, Omri Minayin, Sheim, if he kifu goyim et kol ha'azara, how do you know that if non-Jews surrounded the Azara, Shkwanim nechnazim l'sham ba'ochlim sham kachem kachem, that if necessary, the Kohanim can now go into the Kodesh and eat? Tamad lomar, b'kodesh ha'kodeshim tochlenu. V'amai, neima b'chatzar om oed yochlu ha'velo yitafol chamar menek. All right, so he says, well, why do you even need to say that? Right, you should just say you're allowed to eat in the Azara, so they should be able to eat in the Kodesh. Mikal v'chomer. The Gemara says, really? Hachi hashta hatam avoda. He said, eating, it actually makes more sense that you should do farther from God. You know, eating. It's like a mundane activity, relatively mundane. Avoda, it makes more sense you should do closer to the He who you are worshiping. Service. You're servicing your master. So what makes more sense? Are you serving him farther or closer? Achila, eating. Right? In, you know, these highly stratified societies, you didn't eat in front of your master. I think about, you know, Hilchot Pesach, right? Do you recline in front of your parent? Do you recline in front of your Rebbe? Right? All those things. Right? Clearly there was an okay? But here, the Gemara clearly says that there are circumstances in which you can shecht in the Kodesh. Okay? And we don't know anything about the do- what? The only issue here was about eating. No, it's only about shechting. Only about shechting. Okay? Now, let's go back for a moment to Nunhei, as I said here, right? Right, so the Gemara had said, okay, Pshita, Mugaf kino oldami, if it is obvious that the door is closed but not locked, then is that considered locked? Yes. I think it's about open. Vilon mai. Then the Gemara says, but what if I put a curtain over the entrance? So what's the suffix? What's the Gemara's suffix when it says, is it considered that there's piro dar de'echal if there's a curtain?
A curtain sort of is closing, but it's also...
Okay, so one possibility is, this doesn't tell us anything about any of the models, right? It's just, the question is that considered closed? It's just an independent question. Is putting a curtain considered closed? Okay, but let's go through the three models. If it's, let's take Meir's model. If it's Xerda Katuv, so what's the Gemara's question? Well, does this fit the Xerda Katuv? Yeah, very good. If it's about the day being open, right, the Mishkan being, or the Mikdash being open for business, Evan's model, so what is the Gemara asking? So one possibility is, okay, if I leave the door open, right, I don't lock the door, but I put up a sign that says, be back in 20 minutes, is that considered closed or not closed, right? Or if I want to be closed for the day, I want to close, but I need to air out the, you know, I air it out. I'm sponging, right? So I need to pour water on the floor and I need it to dry. So I need a cross breeze. So I put up, you know, I leave the door open, but I put up, you know, I put up classic, you know, Israel, I put up a white, you know, keter chair with a little sign that says, don't enter, right? Is that called closed for business, right? Or you say that it's between models, meaning it's clearly open for business, but maybe it's Israel Isaac's model and I have separated between the Kodesh and the Heichal. Or within Israel Isaac's model, I say, wait a second, right? If it's about connecting the Heichal to the Azara still, we have to ask, the Heichal to the Azara, you have to ask, okay, but what counts as a separation, right? If a fly was flying by, so now it's not unobstructed, would you say, oh, it lacks connection? Probably not. What about a bird, right? What about a cat, right? At what point would you say it's obstructed, right? So what if it's a chain of people, right? What if a giraffe, we can be pulling the Sukkot cases, right? In elephant, what if it's an elephant who's tied down? What if its feet are tied, right?
What if it's an elephant?
Yeah, this is a sugya in the Gemara. If you have an elephant, right, if it and acts as a wall, right, we have to ask, so you could just ask, is that considered a separation or not? Right?
It's not
it, it, is it a, right? So, right, well, yeah, okay.
Perhaps this could also inform us about the nature of the door. Maybe the door is somehow...
Correct, right? And right, the alternative is not to say it's really about the vilone, but say how much is it really about the doors? Is it like the doors are magic, right? Is it that the doors have significance, or is it obstruction, right? So vilon mai, so Amar Rabbi Zera, hu atzmo ein nasa elekebeder vatuach. He said, what do you mean? A curtain is made to be open. That's what it is. Meaning, the fact that you didn't close the door, you put only a curtain, which is easily moved, shows you that it's not really closed. Well, that's a very interesting argument. What's that argument? Yeah. Right? One level it's nothing. The other, so according to Evan, it's very easy. I think Evan, I think, is the easiest. It's saying, listen, if I wanted to be closed, I would close the door. Right? Right, think about it. It's like, if I wanted to be closed, I would close the door. But I put up a curtain because I want shade. I have a door. If I choose not to close the door and to cover it in some other way, well, that's, you know. Right? So I think according to Evan, it's very easy. Right? It's the fact that I went out of my way to... what I just said is basically what Rashi says. Rashi says, "Vilana atzmo eino chashuv ela kepetach patuach dilitzniuta ba'alma of it." Everyone understands that a vilon, that a curtain, is open because you put up a curtain for privacy, meaning you put it up not to close it. Right now, this works very well in Evan's model, right? Because the point is, according to Evan, is the mikdash open for business? And the answer is, it is. Right? And therefore, lahavdil, for Evan, it would be the difference between opening the trisim. Let's say you do have the trisim. You do have, what are trisim in English?
Black.
Trisim.
I call them blackout. Okay,
but I mean like in front of a store. You know, like a store is like the middle. Shutters. Is that what they're shutters? Is that what they are? Okay, fine. So why is it that, the big metal thing by the store is you pull down. Shutters? Fine, whatever they are. The big metal things. Right, so according to Evan, he says the pticha d'al teichal is when I open those. Right now, most stores keep the door physically closed. Not most, many stores keep their door physically closed. Right, because the air conditioning is on, because they don't want bugs, they don't want cats, they don't want whatever. Some keep them open on purpose. What? Yeah, now some keep them open on purpose. Right, but that's a different story. Well, you didn't know that. There's all types of marketing strategies that have to do with doors being open.
Oh yeah.
Right? So part of it is that. Part of it is the physical experience. That if it's a hot day and there's air conditioning blasting inside, so when you walk by where you physically feel the air conditioning, it invites you in. If it's in certain cases there's smells right by restaurants and the like, you want people to smell what's going on, right? You want cats to walk in because yeah, no, not the cat. But so according to Evan, this is very easy. According to Evan, you just say it like this. What Rashi is essentially saying is, listen, if I wanted to be closed for business, I would close the door. Or the equivalent by a store is I would put down the metal shutters. The fact that I leave the door closed, but it's unlocked and the sign on it says open for business, right? The fact that it's physically closed is meaningless. Right, so the equivalent of that in the Beit HaMikdash was if I leave the doors open and I just, you know, put some shade. So that's the equivalent of saying we're open for business and we're just covering. Right, it's not, the doors aren't closed. According to Mayer, I can't say one way or the other. It's Gzeirat HaKatuv, and the answer is, well, it's about the doors, and this isn't a door. Right, according to Israel Isaac, I'd say, yeah, well, look. We get back to the question, well, what does it mean to create a connection or sever the connection? Is it that there has to be a lack of obstruction, or is it only the doors that create obstruction? Because, well, the doors, you know, they are the permanent structure here. When I close them, right, it's clear that's a different statement, right, a different lack of connection. Because obviously we understand that if, you know, 20 people were crowding that space, right? I don't think anyone would say that the door isn't open, even if it's you can't access it. Right? If you put a bouncer there, right? You put a bouncer by the Kodesh, right? But that, well, which we essentially do, right? We put Kohanim and Levim doing Shmirot at different places, Levim, really. right? We understand that that's not an obstruction, right? There are certain things that are obstructions, certain things that are there for other reasons. So a mere curtain. It's the job you were cut out to be because you're so intimidating, Avi.
Yeah. I'm a potentially decisive question.
Yes.
Is there, we're talking about the possible purpose of the curtain, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is there any circumstance reported in the literature when they would put up a curtain that such that it would demonstrate what their goal is?
Well, so here the Gemara just assumes, and often when the Gemara has curtains, it's just, well, it's niuta.
Okay.
Right? Now, the next line in the Gemara, though, gets to the other question, which is what I've been saying half facetiously, but it's really not. It's really the next line. Gemara is, what if, gof amai? What if I just put something tall in front of it? Right? So, tashma, the tanya, biyozim yudomer. And again, what's the shaila here? So, the shaila presumably is, okay, if it's Gerer Katov, it's Gerer Katov, right? If it's about the connection, so I understand, it's saying, listen, maybe something that's big is going to be an obstruction. It's not permanent, but, you know, you can't see that, you know, if a 9'6", 400-pound, you know, monster of a person gets there and just stands in front of it, what? You know, Hanami, find such a person, talk to Judah about such people, and, you know, his chabura on giants. I read it this morning. I have to talk later, but it seems very nice. So one of those giants stands there. We understand that there is an obstruction. Mitachini, what if said person is the Kohen? You know, right? Would you say that that's an obstruction? Right? So, Tashma, Detanya, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, Shnei, Pishpish, and Hayu, Vera, Chalifot. There were two openings, wickets, technically, in the chamber of knives, where you keep the knives, right? The Govan Shmona, they were 8 amot tall. Kedei lahachzir et azara kulo alachila kachay kachem lashchita kachay kalem. And the purpose of these was to make the entire azara a place where you can eat, and where you could shecht the shlamim. All right, now, what does that expansion already tell us? Does it sound like it's limited to shlamim? No. Right? It's right. And does it sound like it's limited to shechita? No, right? It's just expanded. It said the purpose of these openings were to make sure that the entire Azara was a place where you could eat and you could do avodah of the Kachem Kalim. By having an opening between the Heichal and the Azara, that somehow contributed to the... Right? Now this, I think, supports most Israel Isaac's model. Right? Is the reason that you have openings is because it is what allows the Azara to be a place where you can eat and do eat karbanot and do avoda. So the Gemara says, my love di'ik kamayu shmona. Right? Isn't this... dealing with a case where there was an obstruction, and nevertheless it's considered open. Lo, the Gavon Ninu Shmona, he says, no, their height was, right, the opening themselves were right, not that it was, you know, obstructed. Okay, then the Gemara goes into more details. It asks other interesting questions, like Achore Beta Kapara, what if you're behind the Kodesh, what's the halacha? You're behind. Right? You're behind the Aron. Right? So now you can't see the entrance. So what would you say?
Wait, where are you doing this speak? Are you in the Heichal or in the...
You're behind. Right? So you can't see the openings. So what's the halacha? So again, if it's Gzirat HaKatuv, presumably, well, the doors are open. If it's about it being open for business, presumably it's fine. If it's about being connected, so you might say, okay, but if I'm on the opposite side, even if the doors are open, it's a problem, right? Right, is it about sight? Is it about, or, right, so my tashmad, amar rabbi bar Yehuda, amar rav, lul katan yachor bet kaporet. There was a small opening behind the kaporet, gavo ashmon amot, kide lahach shir azar, lachil kachim kachim, lo shchita kachim kalim, v'hayin dechtev, Shnayim Lifarbar. My Lifarbar. There's a buzz again in Dirayamim. So Amar Rashila command Amar Klape Bar. It means it's facing outwards. Now that means there needs to be opening in the back to connect you. Right? So there's multiple openings, yeah. Okay. So now with this, let's try to understand. Right. So let's try to now. We've seen the models. We've seen how in the Gemara, right, there's evidence for different things. But let's like I said, I don't want to spend forever on this. Yeah, but let's see just a few makarot who try to spell this out. So look now at number 3. Okay, the Sfat Amet, Minchat Chinuch, and 3 and 4, both now ask these questions. Okay, so the Sfat Amet says, Shisham Shlomim Shishachlan Beichal Ksherim. So the Gemara had said explicitly, we saw on Samach Gimel, that if you shech the shlomim in the heichal, it's kasher. Yeish la'ayin b'had the kaimelon shlomim shachtan kodem p'tichot dal der heichal psulim. So now he says, okay, let's bring Daf Samach Gimel into conversation with Daf Nun Hei. Who did that before him? L'shitim Mekubetzet. Right, that was what we saw yesterday. It was that L'shitim Mekubetzet is the one who brings these sugyot into conversation. No, not even close. Okay, let's do our normal. Who wrote the Shita Mekubetzet? Rav Bezalel Ashkenazi, who lived from what year to what year? 1520 to 1594. Okay, being contemporary? Yeah, very good. Okay, a long time ago. What about this Sfat Emet?
I mean, he was 19th century.
He was one of the Gerer Rebbes. That is correct. Which Gerer Rebbe? He is not the first. He is the second. Very good. His father was the first, who was the Chedushe Harim. Right? Chedushe Harim. The Sfat Emet is Yehuda Aryeh Leib Alter. 1847 to 1905. So, no. He's closer to what we call contemporary than the Shita Mekubetzet by centuries. So, the Shita Mekubetzet was the first one to bring these into conversation, right? That was what we saw yesterday. Was he said, okay, I know that the again, what did he say? He said that I know that what? What? Come on, let's go back to Shita Mekubetzet, okay? What did he say? Right, that's why this Gemara is in conversation. So he, right, so he had said, again, Perish Rashi Lav Arach Rav Kasher, Amin L'Kaman Shlom Sheshach Don Meichel Kasher. He says, we know that it's Kasher if I shech in. Mishum Shalei Tavel Chamor Min HaEikar. Velo Paslin and Mishum De Lav Orach Hara. So Lav Orach Hara is not a reason for it to be invalid. Ve'o Damrin Hatam, Ovid Adam Adavad Rav Makom Rabo. Mashma Shab Ever Orach Hara. Right, so first of all, he challenges and he says it's not true that it's inappropriate to shech in the Kodesh. Gemara says it's fine. L'kach nir l'mori d'tayim v'shum d'chata d'una tzafon u'veheichal lo havei tzafon. Da'afil l'man d'amar bein olam z'beach kari tzafon. Mode v'edach havei l'veilach lo havei tzafon. V'kol shkem v'heichal atzmo shem yichid soda heichal mafseket. So he says, listen, it's not tzafon. And inside the heichal, it's asur. Why? Because the doors of the heichal itself, right, are mafsek. Right, they're gonna be a problem. Right? They're gonna create a problem. So now the Sfat Emet clearly assumes that the doors of the Heichal are closed, it's possible even in the Heichal. Sfat Emet isn't sure. He asks. We said that Shlomo Shachtan called him Dalter Heichal Psulim. But what if I shechted it in the heichal before I opened the doors? Ik sherim, is it not? So what's the svara? So let's go through the three possibilities. If it's exerta katu, the door needs to be open, then it's pasul. If it's that there needs to be a connection between the Hazara and the Heichal in order to allow you to Shecht, like Israel Isaac, then inside the Heichal, should it be kosher?
Yes.
Of course. If it's about the Mikdash being open for business, like Evan said, then what should the halacha be? Well, specify the cases. If it's before you opened it in the morning, then even though you're in the Heichal, be pasul. But if you'd open the doors and then close them, it would be kosher. And let's say you said it was Tzvedinim, right? Let's say it's both about connecting you to the Heichal and opening for business, right? That Evan is right and Israel Isaac's right. So then you'd come up with an interesting hybrid model, which is if you Shecht in the Azara in the middle of the day when you close the doors, it would be Pasul, because you are open for business, but there isn't a connection with the Azara. But if you Shechted in the Azara, sorry, in the Heichal, after having opened the doors once that day, right? If you said it, then it would be fine, right? Then it would be fine for Evan. It'd be fine for. Fine, or unless you take your middle one, correct. Okay, so the Svanemid isn't sure. He says, O Nema, to be called Malkum Gzerda Katuvu. He says, obviously, if it's a Gzerda Katuv like Meir, then I don't care if you're in the Heichal, I don't care if you're in the Azar, I don't care where you are. If the doors are closed, the doors are closed. If you think it's about being open for business, well, then you only have to open at that door. And if it's about connecting you to the Azara, so then in the Azara it would be possible, but in the Heichal it would be Kasher. Right, he says, is it Sherim Kevin de Bifnimhu? Right? He's essentially saying if it's like an Israel Isaac said, it's about creating a connection. So then you're inside. You don't need the doors to be open to create a connection. You're inside where the doors would be open to. But if it's Exer Katuv, did Sarach Liot Ptuchin, that the doors have to be open, Avagav de Nishchatu Bifnim, even though you shut it inside, it would be possible. And what's his answer? Sarach Liot, I don't know. He's like, I could see it going both ways. I don't know, but we saw already in the Gemara the evidence in the different directions, right? That, right, a lot of the evidence, I think, points in the direction of Israel Isaac, that it's about there being a connection, especially the Vilon question. But again, Meir will defend himself and say, come on, it's just asking, is that called closing the doors, right? I mean, right. I can never quite get away from Gzera Katuv and say, well, it could always be Gzera Katuv. That's what the Gemara is asking. Right? You can never quite prove that something isn't Gzera Katuv. I think the language points more in the direction of Israel Isaac, that it's about the connection. Right? I could defend it with an Evans model also, which is putting up a curtain. Is that enough to be closed for business temporarily? Minchas Chinuch deals with this as well. So he says, Dimshachat Beheichal. It seems to me that if you shecht in the Eichal, shekasher, afilu dalta ha'eichal ne'ulim kasher, that even if the doors are closed, it's kasher. Kevan sheshochat be'eichal, since you're shechting in the Eichal, didafka ba'azara tzarech sheyeh patuach. If you're in the Azara, it needs to be open. Aval be'eichal atzmo pashut shekasher. But if you're in the Eichal itself, it's obviously kasher. It's obviously kasher. Now again, this works very well for Israel Isaac. But as we saw, Meir has a pretty good defender on his side, which is the Mishimi Kobetzet, who clearly got into this because the Mishimi Kobetzet had said, no, if you're in the Heichal, the doors are blocking, right? And it's puzzle. Right? What? Now, again, I think from the Minchas Chinuch language, he clearly doesn't, he's not in Evan's camp either. Right? He's not in Evan's camp either at all. Right? Because he's very much in Israel Isaac's camp, right? What? And Israel Isaac has the Septuagint on his side. Ashrecha. Ashrecha. It is. Okay, it's not. I don't know. It's like, one day he'll just give a shir, like the machlok. I mean, not that I haven't done this in my life, but like, you know, it's a machloka, the Septuagint and the Vulgate and the Pshita, you know. How well do you what? I know. This is like we had fun when I was in YU. So one semester I took Kohelet with Professor Bernstein, and the methodology of class was basically each week we did a perek, and everybody in class was responsible you had to pick two mafarshim and be able to explain what that each of the mafarshim contributed to every, you know, every exegetical move, right? So you go through each pasuk and be like, every parsha move of parshanut, like you had to explain, like what was the problem that drove it and it drove the, you know, particular interpretation for each mafarish. So I went with the Rikara, right, who was Rashi's student, who has a beautiful Perush on Kohelet, right, who's like more of a Pashtun than Rashi, a very careful Pashtun, very nice. And at the opposite extreme, I did Midrash, right, the Midrash Rabba, right. So a Midrashic read and a Pashtun read, right. That was what I did. That was fun. But I had one person in class who did the Vulgate and the Pshita in the original Syriac, right? Yes. Syriac. Not Syrian. Syriac. Like the ancient language.
How did he manage to teach himself?
He didn't. He didn't teach himself Syriac. NYU. Maybe he did teach himself, I don't know. Anyways, I don't know if there's a Duolingo Syriac. I do doubt. There was someone in Toronto. I'll tell you after who it was. Who they got out of all their parking. They got out all their parking tickets. Because you have the right on the parking ticket to say, I want a court date and I need a translator. And he always put ancient Aramaic. Always. Always. That he only spoke ancient Aramaic. Right? Never got any parking tickets. You know, because they're not going to call you back where they can get a translator. Fine. And he could plausibly say, I speak Aramaic. You know, it's not like he couldn't get away with that.
I feel like if they found out he actually spoke English, fine. Wouldn't that...
Yeah, maybe, but they never asked. He also wasn't native Torontonian, so he could get away with that. He had a thick accent, you know. He had an accent. You get away with it. Yeah.
Even if you speak the native language.
Yes, of course you do. Okay. Now, I want to give you another wonderful nafka mina that's going to test the theory. This is from the Rajba, okay? What? This is going to be fun, okay? So I was debating how much of the sugya and shvuot to give you, but I didn't give you the sugya. I just gave you the Rajba. The Rajba says, okay, I got a question for you. No one ever said Gemara wasn't fun, right? That's not true. Plenty of people said that. They're wrong, though. The Gemara says the following. The Gemara in Shvuot at Zion says, Shamati, I heard... Shemakriven afal pi she'ein bayit, that one can bring karbonot even without a Beit HaMikdash. Right? Afal pi she'ein bayit. Right? Ochlin kachay kachim afal pi she'ein kilayim. Right? You can eat kachim kachim even though there aren't the curtains, etc., etc. So commenting on this, he says, but wait a second. There are cases in which you can bring a karbon where there's no mikdash. But what's the problem? The doors aren't open. So wait a second. Okay, if it's an arbitrary gzeirat hakatuv, then this is a good question. If it's about creating a connection, you can say, well, maybe you only have to have a connection when there is a mikdash to connect you to. If there are karbon you can bring without a mikdash, then clearly you don't have to be connected. If it's about being open for business, well, any karbon that you can bring when there isn't a mikdash doesn't need a mikdash to be open for business because, you know... there's no mikdash. So the Rajma says, Ikalameda, the Hashchit at Kajim, Tzrichat Pevtichat Al Te'echal. So I can't deny that he's clearly thinking, Meir Svara. He's like, well, how could you ever have a karban brought when there isn't a mikdash?
And that's why
there aren't doors of the mikdash open when the mikdash doesn't exist. Ukidar Shinan, they're also not closed, but they're also not open. Kididar Shinan, El Petach, Olol Moed. Bisman shapetach patuach, it needs to be open. Bislo bisman shuol. No, it's not open. So his question is clearly in the mayor realm, which is gzeirat hakatuv. He looks at it and he says the door isn't. This is like the most pedantic question ever, right? It's like if I said I like having a breeze, so I always have windows open, right? And then one day we decide to have Shear in the park. And then you say, oh, how can you have Shear in the park? The windows aren't open. It's like, ew, right?
What?
We could, but what are we going to do? The window won't be open, right? Yeah. So his question is clearly very deep into Gzeirat HaKatuv territory, right? So he answers, Yesh Lomar. So well, let's see what his answer is, okay? What is his answer? His answer is, V'yesh Lomar, you might say, I know this is a crazy thing to say, Dehatam bizman shehaya habayit kayam. Ti'ika petach v'ika daltot. That it's invalid is only if
there's a Beis HaMikdash to have closed doors in.
Because it's really the doors can't be closed. It's not that they have to be open, it's not that they can't be closed.
Okay, so the truth is that he's not so forthcoming in what he wants, but he says, so one way of reading it is, maybe the Gzeirat HaKatuv is, maybe the Havamina was the Gzeirat HaKatuv was it should be open, and the Maskana is it can't be closed. Right?
That's not what it says.
Right? Maybe that's what he means. I don't know. Right? Or he's moving to some other model, like, you know, an Evan model, which is if there are doors to be open and closed, so then... Right? Then, plausibly, it's, you know, not open for business. But if there is no doors, so then, you know... Right? So from his answer, I think you could go in different direction. But his question, right, the fact that he even asked that question was very deep, very, very deep into Gzeirat HaKatuv camp. Well, so that's why I didn't give you the whole sugya, though, because it's a very, you know, I didn't want to go too far down into the, you know, down the rabbit hole. I'm already, you know, building a sugya out of a, you know, in Shittim Mikubetzet. Now, okay, we'll finish this sugya tomorrow. Just to give you a heads up, the Tosfotim you're going to look at are going to go back to something that Evan said before, which was, in order to fully understand the sugya, according to Meir's model, this isn't a question. According to Israel Isaac's model, this isn't a question. According to Evan's model, Tosfot has a question. Tosfot seems to really much be the one who goes in Evan's direction, because... If it's about the beginning of the day, right, then is there anything else that opens the day, that starts the day in the Mikdash, before which you can't do Avodah? And that is the Tamid. Right? There's another rule, if you remember we did this towards the end of Zman, is that you're not allowed to bring anything before the Tamid, and you're not allowed to bring after them, with the exception of the Pesach. So if it was about starting the day, Tosfot asked very plausibly, why do I need a separate... second rule to tell me that you can't do any avodah before you start the mikdash day? There's another rule that already captures that, which is what? Don't bring before the tumid. Right? The very fact that he asked that question shows that he's going in Evan's direction, because if it's a Gzeirat HaKatuv, there's nothing to do with it. If it's about connecting to the Heichal, there's nothing to do with it. If it's about being open for business, then the fact that there's a ritual act that opens the day before which you can't bring Karbanot, that does seem to overlap.
Then you're opening with the
time. Good. So that's what we're going to have to... We'll see tomorrow, and we'll finish it off tomorrow. We'll see Tosfot, the two Tosfot that deal with this. And then we'll look at one Gemara in Yoma. Then we'll come back to the question of Shlomim. Is it only Shlomim, which, as we'll see, is a discussion in Rashi and Tosfot and Samach Aleph. And then we'll try to frame this, and I'll try to give you a framing. If you want, you could look at Rudani Wolf's piece that I reference here. You could look at it online. You could borrow the book for me, which is, why is it, right? Because I think you need to take Israel Isaac's Svara just a little bit farther, which is, maybe, let's say Israel Isaac is right, but why precisely is it so important to connect between the Azara and the Heichal, right? If that's what it is, you need to explain why that's true. We'll finish this. Yeah, we'll finish tomorrow, I hope.